Father, we have purposed to come together in your name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, you are so sweet to us, so precious to us. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And then he went into the belly of the earth and suffered and died for my sin. And you, Father, said that's enough. And you raised him from the dead. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And now he's alive, sitting at your right hand. We are so thankful and so grateful. Father, tonight we desire to hear what you have to say. Take my words. If you need to change them, change them. Whatever you want to do and need to do, that we'll walk away with a greater appreciation for your love for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the subject of salvation. You like that? It's exciting with the fireworks. Yes. Thank you. Hi, Amy. Yes. We're going to talk about salvation. And you might say, well, I'm saved. I already have that covered. Well, I just want to talk to you a little bit so we can even appreciate more what we have. Amen. Now, I want you to know that God loves his creation and he desires fellowship with each one. So many times people try to group in one group, another group, the tall people, the fat people, the people that wear size 8 shoe. They always get there before me. I decide to wear size 8.5. I'll fix them. Different groups. And he says, I love each of you. I love all of you. And it is so wonderful to know he cares that much. And I've shared different little things that happened to me and experiences that I have that are so personal, you wouldn't think God had time to deal with those things. I mean, he's got all these people on the earth to think about, not counting all the things going on in heaven that we're not even aware of. But he does. He cares about every car that drives around you. And he has angels keeping them away from you. Amen? He cares about every detail. He cares about the way you get your hair cut and the way you go shopping. Oh, my goodness. He's so loving. He loves us. And he wants us to fellowship with him about those things. You might say, well, he doesn't have time to mess with me. Yes, he does. And if he doesn't, he'll create more time because he cares that much. He wants to fellowship. He wants you to take him with you when you go to the grocery store shopping. He wants you to take him. Now, of course, you say, well, I have him, but he wants to be involved. Involved. Today, I had to run by the store. I needed 3 things. That's very difficult for me. I get in the store and I think, oh yeah, I need this. And oh, this wasn't on my list, but I got to have this. Oh, I forgot about, I walk, you know, run in to get a loaf of bread and walk out with a big cart full. I've done that more than once. But today he knew my time was scheduled. And so I kept hearing inside of me, 3 things. I did reach up and get a 4th, but 3 things. Amen. He cares so much about us. Thank God. He cares so much, so much for us, so much everything for us. It's so great. And I am enjoying teaching my grandchildren that, you know, things don't just happen or you don't just make this decision. God is right there keeping you safe. Yes, you tried to close the door on your leg, but God was there to keep it, heal you, take care of you, whatever. God is good to us. Well, let's look at the first slide. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And let's stop there just a second. All of you have invited Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior and your Lord. And how did you do it? Well, you said something with your mouth. You confessed or you talked with your mouth. The next verse says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Now, go ahead to the next slide. I redid the verse and put it in New Living Translation. I like that one. I'm used to the New King James, and sometimes I let those words just flow by because I'm already used to it. I've said it. I've heard it. So if I go to the New Living, that NLT, that's what that stands for, New Living Translation. If I go to that one, sometimes it kind of wakes me up to a new fact. But it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord. Now, when I was growing up, you had to go to the front of the church. You had to confess your sins. You had to cry, say, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And maybe if the elders liked you and felt you were sincere, you could get saved. My mother was of that school. And when my children got saved, she didn't believe they were really saved. See, they didn't cry enough. They didn't go to the front of the church enough. They didn't boo-hoo enough. So every time she saw them, she'd have them pray the prayer all over again. I don't know how many times they got saved. I'm being facetious. They got saved once, but she kept wanting them to go over and over it. She went over it so many times that Juliana came home and talked to her dog, led him in the plan of salvation. Now, if you want Jesus to come in your heart, say woof. He said woof. I mean, we had this routine down because, you know, you had to cry, you had to be sorry, you had to repent, etc., etc. Those things are good, but we majored on those instead of majoring on the fact that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Well, hallelujah. Say, I'm saved. So there's two parts. Let's go to the next slide. It's two parts. You believe in your heart, not the pump heart, but the inner you. Believe in your heart. That's part one. Part two, confess or speak with your mouth. I told you about my sweet niece. I sent her something that talks about confessions. So she said, what do you mean by confessions? I said, well, that's speaking God's word. And that's where I get that from this verse that we just read. It says, confess with your mouth. It means say. It means talk. Make a sound. Talk with your mouth. And we used to say years ago, make a declaration of your faith or say, talk out loud. So two parts, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Now, there's some people that say, well, I believe in my heart and God knows my heart. I don't need to say anything out loud. Yes, you do. You need to say something out loud so you yourself can hear it. Whose side are you on? What is that wonderful story of the Alamo? When was that Sam Houston who took his sword? I can just see him. Drew a line in the sand and said something wonderful like, I'm going to stand for the Alamo, or I'm going to fight until I win or die. Joshua did the same thing in the Bible. He drew a line in the sand and he said something wonderful. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And so that's what you're doing. You're almost drawing a line in the sand. Say, I'm on God's side. I'm taking Jesus as my Savior, Jesus as my Lord. Believe and confess. Now, faith, let's go to the next slide. Faith is the same way. You're going to hear John preach a lot about faith because it has changed his life. And faith is in two parts. Look familiar. Believe in your heart. Confess or speak with your mouth. So if you say, I have faith to be healed, for example, then you believe in your heart that God wants you well, and you say with your mouth, God wants you well. God wants me well. God wants me well. For example, Sunday. Oh, wasn't that an awesome service, Sunday? Ooh, praise you, Jesus. Sorry, we missed you. But the Lord So I'm operating in faith. Now, this is a little parenthesis. This is not about our subject exactly, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here I am, and the Lord said, I heard inside of me. It's not something I thought up, not a voice anybody could hear, but I heard it inside of me. I want to give 3 people a physical makeover. Do I have any proof? No. Do I have any evidence? No. Is there anything tangible? You know, I could have gone to John and said, John, the Lord spoke to me and said this. Do you think that was really God? You see, I could have looked for confirmation, but I decided to operate in faith. I believed that he spoke to me. And then I said something out loud. I said, God wants to do a physical makeover on 3 people at least here. Okay, that's operating by faith. And then after a little while, we had some evidence, right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so go to the next slide. This is the scripture I'm talking about, 2 Corinthians 4:13, again, New Living Translation. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had. Who's the psalmist? David, King David. The psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. And I tell you, that's the most powerful thing you can do, is speak what you believe. Now, when I say believe, the believer sometimes has to be changed so that you're speaking what God says instead of what you see all around you. You know, I believe what I speak. I believe what I speak. Amen? Well, enough about that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:3. We're still talking about how to get saved. How do you get saved? You say, Jesus is Lord. That's not just a catchphrase or something to put on a mug. Jesus is Lord. I mean, he is above me. He is over me. He is my master, my king. He's in charge of me. And 1 Corinthians 12:3, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. They cannot curse Jesus speaking by the Spirit of God. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so when I'm around somebody and I'm really unsure if they're saved or not, if they're a Christian or not, I'll lead the conversation and ask them to say Jesus is Lord. If they can't say it, they need to be born again. They need to be led to the Lord. Amen. Okay, next. I put that in there with this is New King James. That's what it is. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Don't you like that New Living that curses God versus accursed? It's just a little easier to understand in the New Living. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go ahead. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, now this is one of the things that happened to you when you were born again. In him, Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So to get saved, you had to hear first. You could hear by reading. You could hear in any number of ways. Hear the gospel of your salvation. In whom, Christ, also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have a seal on you. Now, I'm familiar with several kinds of seals. I like to make jam, peach, spiced peach jam, and the favorite part is to eat it. But when you make it, you're supposed to seal that jar. Maybe you've canned pickles, or maybe you've canned tomatoes. You have to seal the jar. You put a seal, and if that seal is broken, you're not supposed to eat what was in the jar. The seal, God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. Now, another kind of seal, when I was a young girl, my brothers were a lot older than I was, and occasionally they'd bring me a gift, and one of them brought me this piece of wax. It looked like a pen almost. It was red, and you lit the end of the wax like a candle, and you let it drip onto the outside of the envelope, drip, drip, You blow it out, and you take the seal, and you push that seal into the hot wax. And mine happened to have my initial E. So I pressed that seal, so it was sealed, Elizabeth. That didn't keep anybody from looking in there, but it did keep anybody, I would know if someone looked in there. Now, that was just a game to me, but in the old days when they had scrolls rather than books, then they would wrap up the scroll, and there was a seal on the outside. It was sealed. Amen? God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. You can't say, well, I believed in Jesus, but I don't have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. According to the scripture, if you have Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He came to live within you. And in the book of John, it talks about him being your comforter, your strengthener, standby, lawyer, comforter. All of these different words are used to describe the Holy Spirit, and he is in you. Now, if you took a knife and went under the surgery and the doctor opened you up, you would not see the Holy Spirit, nor would you see your spirit. These things are all spiritual things that cannot be seen with the physical eye, and yet they are just as real, if not more real, than what we have physically. You have the Holy Spirit in you if you've said Jesus is Lord. Next slide. Ephesians 1, this is verse 14. The Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, or the guarantee of the promises. See, God has made all these promises to you. What's the guarantee? The Holy Spirit is the guarantee until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Go ahead. I have it in New Living, but we're going to go ahead past New Living. Next. Now, here's the point. Jesus lives within you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is actually in heaven. When I was a kid, they said, do you want Jesus to come in your heart? Yes, I do. Even the dog said, woof. But it wasn't actually Jesus who lives within you. He lives within you by the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. You have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. You have the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, talks to you, comforts you, guides you, gives you wisdom, gives you advice, gives you direction, protects you. It's wonderful. So Jesus is within you by the Holy Spirit. I put in red, you are in Christ. So he's in you and you're in him. Kind of hard to perhaps understand. He's in you, you're in him. John used to talk about baptism, and he would have a jar, an empty jar, mason jar, and he'd have a pan of water, and he would say, he'd put a lid on the jar, and he'd push it in the water, and he'd say, the water's all over the outside of the jar. It's wet. Then he would take the lid off, and he would put the jar back in the water, and it would start filling up with water, inside and outside. So that's what we're trying to express. Jesus is inside of you, and you're inside of him. You're in Christ. He's in you, and you're in him. Now, Christ, I want to address that just a minute. Christ is the Greek word Christos. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, and you know I always like to dig up details. But this book was not written in English to begin with. This book was written, half of it, the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic, mostly Aramaic. And at some point, it was translated to Greek, the New Testament. Then they translated the Old Testament. It's called the Septuagint. It's the Greek translation of the Bible. Okay? So, Christos, or Christ, means the anointed one, Messiah, or Savior. In Hebrew, well, I just want to tell you, Christ is not Jesus' last name. So many people think that's, you know, in our culture, we have a first name and a last name. Jesus is not his first name and Christ his last name. No, it's a title and means the anointed one, and then by association and his anointing. if a person is anointed, they have an anointing. If they've been endued or anointed with power, then they have power to use. Does that make sense? Amen. So when the Bible was translated from Hebrew to Greek, the translators changed the Hebrew word Mashiach. I practiced and practiced. Anyway, that word. Or as we know it, Messiah. They changed it to the Greek word for Messiah, which is Christ. So next screen. So, and then when the Bible was translated into English, they didn't translate Christ into anointed one. They just left the word Christ. So they added a new word to the English language, Christ. Go ahead. So Matthew 16:16, you're familiar with this? Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And then, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter hopped up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He could have just said, in fact, other translations do say, he said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God." They're interchangeable, Christ and Messiah. Go ahead. When someone is set apart as a priest or a prophet or a king, they were anointed with oil. What do you mean by that, Elizabeth? I mean somebody had this holy anointing oil. Now, in the Old Testament is the recipe for the oil. But no one was allowed to make it except the priests. It was holy. It was separate, set apart. And they would take this holy oil and they would pour it on or massage it in or anoint, put on a person. You're set apart for the priesthood, or you're set apart to be a prophet, or you're set apart to be a king. And you remember that story about David? The Lord spoke to Samuel and said, I don't want Saul to be king anymore. I want you to go to Jesse's house, and one of his sons, I want you to anoint him king. And Samuel said, Lord, if Saul finds out, he'll kill me. And Jesus, the Father said, God said, you go ahead. And so Samuel told Jesse, I'm going to worship God with a sacrifice, and I want you and your family there. So that's how he kind of got out of it. And so Jesse had quite a few sons. And Samuel's ready with the anointing oil. He didn't tell anybody, I'm going to anoint one of your sons king. He just was ready. And so he said, well, bring your sons up, Jesse. It's an honor to Jesse. You are honored because I'm inviting you to this sacrifice. Bring your sons. And so the first son came. Man, he looked good, tall and handsome and strong. And Samuel said, surely this is the right one. And the Lord said, no. Second son, same story. Third son, same story. Finally, they ran out of sons. Samuel said, is this all your sons? Because he's thinking, did I miss God or what's going on here? He could have thought that. I don't know what he thought. And so Jesse said, oh, I do have another one. But he's out taking care of the sheep. I didn't even call him in for the feast. And Samuel said, we're not eating. We're not sitting down. We're not sacrificing. We're not doing anything until your other son comes in. And when David came in, the Lord said, that's the one. And that's that wonderful scripture. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And so Samuel anointed. How did he anoint David king? He poured oil on him and announced that he was going to be the next king. Well, it didn't look like it. It didn't feel like it. And certainly didn't act like it. But you know the story. Eventually, David did become king. So this oil was a symbol of the hand of God on that particular person for special service to God and for the people. We are kings and priests unto our God. So we've been appointed, anointed by God for special service to God and his people. At Scriptures, Revelation 1:6. You are anointed to be a priest. You're anointed to be a king. Well, what is a priest? That's someone that ministers to the people on behalf of God and ministers to God on behalf of the people. That's your job. How do you minister on behalf of the people? You pray, right? You cold? Oh, sorry. Are y'all cold? We're okay. We'll get you a blanket. So we minister on behalf of the people. As we pray, we intercede. We pray for people. We pray to God on behalf of the people. How do you minister on behalf of God? You preach. You witness. You tell what God has done for you to people. Amen? Okay, next slide. And we already had this slide, but I'm going to go through it again. Jesus is in you by the Holy Spirit, and you're in Christ. He's in you, you're in him. Okay, let's just talk about a few scriptures about being in Christ. What is that? In Christ. That's being saved. When you're saved, you're in Christ. You're in the anointing. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. This is that scripture that we use on the Romans road to salvation. This is one of the scriptures. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You can't get eternal life outside of Christ. No matter how good you are, how pretty you are, you can't get it. Only in Christ. The next scripture is Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation. Ooh, I like that. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, those that are not in Christ Jesus, honey, there's plenty of condemnation. Amen. The devil will condemn you up and down, and he'll make you condemn yourself. And if that's not enough, he'll bring somebody else to condemn you. There's plenty of condemnation. It's just not for you if you are in Christ Jesus and you don't walk according to your fleshly desires, but you walk according to the Spirit. The next verse, Romans 8:38 and 39. Paul said, I'm persuaded. Now, you think he meant this or not? He probably pounded the table. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. You're not safe if you're not in Christ. Just a minute. You're not safe. You're not separate from death. You're not separate from principalities and powers. You're not separate from the past. You're not separate from the future unless you are in Christ. That's where the love of God is located. Now, he wants everyone to come in to Christ. Or say, Jesus is Lord. He wants everybody. He wants everybody. He's got enough love for everybody to be in Christ. The next scripture about this is Galatians 3:26. For you, say that's me. For you are all sons of God through faith in your good living. Through faith in your church attendance. Through faith in your tithes and offerings. Through faith in your parents, in your position in life. Nothing except in Christ. Faith in Christ Jesus. What that means is I don't have tangible evidence that I am a son of God. Not Jesus, but a son of God. I don't have tangible evidence, but by faith, remember, faith is believing and speaking or confessing. Now, we're almost through. At the moment of salvation, you were, number one, born again into the family of God. John chapter 3, you know, that's that great chapter, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was no dummy. He was a doctor of the law. He was educated. He was experienced. He was a ruler in Israel. And Jesus starts talking to him. I guess he wanted to have a theological conversation, but he didn't want anyone to know because they met at night. And Jesus said, you don't hardly know anything, do you? He said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus said, I can't be born again. I'm already born. I'm already conceived. I'm already came out of my mother's womb. I can't be born again. What are you? I don't understand this conversation. Be born again. But you, and with the knowledge you have, you were born again. Not your body, but your spirit. Born again. It was dead. It was dark. It couldn't hear God. It couldn't be a son of God. It couldn't stay out of trouble. It couldn't receive the love of God. It couldn't be protected. But when you said Jesus is Lord, you were born again. Next slide. Now, I'm on a roll here. Sorry. Forgot to breathe. You're born again. I like that better than saying you're saved. To me, saved sounds like you were perhaps in a pool of water and needed somebody to pull you out. This is better than that. You were born again. Now, number two, you became a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Or instead of creation, you could use the word species. I've seen that in other translations. You are a new species. Now, you know, I love this scientific stuff. If I just knew more about it, it'd be good, probably. But there's something called the taxonomy of organisms. And the scientists have organized all of life into various categories. And so they start with a domain. And they say everything, every biological creature belongs to the same domain. You and the monkeys, and the whales, everything. But then they break it down to kingdom. Now, there's a plant kingdom. You're not part of that. And there's an animal kingdom. You are part of that. And then it breaks it down more because you're not the same as a gorilla, a lion. Breaks it down to phylum or division. And says, okay, now some of you animals have a vertebra. Some don't. Some have a vertebra inside your body, some outside. So it breaks it down, class. Order, family, genus, species. Wait a minute, didn't we just say we're a new species? Go to the next slide, please. I don't even know how to say these words. Whoops. This is the taxonomy of a human being, you. Every human is in this domain, this kingdom, this phylum, this class, this order, this family. That's what starts dividing us from the apes and the monkeys and the gorillas and everything. This genus and this species. Now, science has gotten so much more sophisticated since they came up with this, but usually they just mention the last two. What genus and what species? So we're Homo sapiens. You probably heard that term before. That means we're us instead of being a giraffe, or we're us instead of being some other animal. Amen? So you're a Homo sapien, but if you receive Jesus as Savior, if you're in Christ, you're part of a new species. Not recognized by earth science necessarily, but a new species. You're born again. Next. At the moment of salvation, you were also made righteous. You couldn't get out of your sin except to believe God had washed it away. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, or in Christ. So God gave you righteousness. Just like if I gave you a pencil, I gave you a piece of paper, I gave you $100 bill, God made you, he gave you, he changed you to be right with God. At the moment of salvation, you became a joint heir with Jesus. Jesus is an heir of everything God has. And you are too. You were put in Christ, or in the anointing. That scripture is Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So when you say Jesus is my brother, my big brother, You both have an inheritance with God. You have the same inheritance Jesus has because you're in Christ. At the moment of salvation, you were given eternal life with God. That's why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell when I died. And that's about all I knew about it. But you were given eternal life with God. John 3:16, whoever believes in him, or Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. At the moment of salvation, you were given access to God's wisdom, knowledge, counsel, and more. You've been given access to all of God, all of heaven, all that he has. You have access to that. That's why we talk about healing. That's why we talk about prosperity. That's why we talk about wisdom. That's why we talk about God so much, is because we have access to everything he has. What's that next scripture? 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ is right. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. So at the moment of salvation, you were made right with God. You were given eternal access. Excuse me, you were given eternal life, and you have access to all that God has. Hallelujah. Glory to God and his son Jesus. This is what you have because you said Jesus is Lord. All of this is yours as a Christian, as being saved. I don't know if you've thought about this or enjoyed it, but part of John and my assignment is to encourage you to enjoy all that you have because you were born again. You are born again. People say, well, what makes you think you're special? I'm born again. I'm born again. I'm in Christ. That's why I'm special. I have Christ Jesus, and he has me. He's in me, and I'm in him, and he's in me, and I'm in him, and he's in me, and I'm in him. So there's no lack. There's no poverty. And you might say, well, what's the good of receiving Jesus? Oh, my goodness. Now you are alive inside. You have access to all of heaven. God will give you dreams. He'll give you visions. He'll talk to you. He'll make a way where there is no way. He's not going to take all of the trouble out of your life. He's going to show you a way to get through it and get through it successfully. Amen? Amen. He doesn't come in and say, okay, I'm going to just remove all the sin for you because you're so wonderful and special. I mean, I wish he would, but it's still out there. But he's showing me how, by faith, by believing, by speaking, to walk through anything I have to walk through. Amen. And not just me. We have the right as priests and kings to minister to others, which we're going to pray in a few minutes for Ethel and some other people that I have on my heart. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? You are born again. You have a new spirit. You're different. You're changed. You're a new species. A new species. They haven't even written all the things that are different about you. Here's Mr. Homo sapien, what I used to be. Well, I wasn't Mr. Anyway, here's Homo sapien, I used to be. And here's new me, new species, new person. I am now a Christian. I am born again. I have access to all of God and all of heaven. That's what everybody wants. Look at every false religion. What do they want? They want good stuff. 70 virgins and I don't know. Power, authority. They want the right to kill everybody that doesn't agree with them or doesn't bow down to them. No. So much better. So much better. So much better. We have God. We are of God. John, you have some comments? I asked him to use a microphone.
Okay. I think you did a beautiful job of explaining the confession is what makes us like God. He originally in the garden made us like him, in his image and like him. And so many times people will forget that's the reason we talk, because God made us like him. So therefore, when we learn how to do what he does, so when he wanted to send Jesus into the world to save us, he sent his word.
Amen.
When he wanted to heal us, he sent his word. So we have to take his word and apply his word so we can live in Christ in a powerful life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the scripture it says, confess your sins, right? And he's just and faithful and forgiven. Isn't it funny? The cleansing of your sin is connected to words. It's so powerful that you can confess your sins and it cleanses your consciousness. That's mm-hmm. how powerful words are.
Amen. I love that scripture in Philippians chapter 4. It says, the peace of God will guard your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we have brought these people. We think of sweet Ethel. Now, Lord, she has questions and she doesn't exactly know which way to go. I ask you to give her comfort and peace, direction. Show her she's not alone, either from God or from family and friends. Bless her, Lord. Comfort her. Bless her. Take her through this time of planning the funeral and getting through all of that. Bless her. Bless her. Bless her, Lord. And we also pray for the Foudre family. Bless them as they go through the time of preparation for the funeral and then getting used to having their mother in heaven instead of a phone call away. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. Take care of them. Bless them. Father, we pray for Rick. You have done a great thing for him. Now complete the work. Complete the work, Lord. Complete the work. In the name of Jesus, complete the work. Heal him completely in his body. In Jesus' name. And Father, we also pray for a man I know named Noel, that you'll give him a job, the right job. The right job. And we ask that it come quickly. We continue to pray for Lacey and sweet Lily, as well as Kristen and Lucy. Oh, Father, you have a call on their lives. That was settled long before they were born. So thank you for removing any evil from their lives and bringing them to the satisfaction, serving God, living that abundant life that you promised. I don't care how old Lily is, bring her to that abundant life. And Lacey, Father, show her that you're real. You're not just some fairy tale. Cleanse her heart and cleanse her mind from any influence of lies and deception. She will see you for who you are and fall on her face and worship you. Father, we pray for all of our children, all of our grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. Keep your hands on them, which I know you promised us you would. And we receive that in Jesus' name. We receive their protection. We receive that. And Lord, this little girl that was lost, what a ridiculous situation the devil has pulled on this child. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for bringing her safe to a place of safety. Oh, Father, we pray for President Trump. We bind all evil. We bind disagreement, dissension. We bind the works of the devil toward him and his cabinet, his government. Give him a clear thinking. Give him clear direction. Let him lead not only with authority, but with godly authority, so that the decisions he makes, he doesn't have to back down. He doesn't have to change. He is set on the course that God has given him. It's what we pray, what we believe, what we desire, that our country be on the course that God has called us to be on. God, thank you for being so merciful to us in this country. Thank you for your protection. Thank you that every day you are doing something. You're uncovering the plots of the enemy. Oh, Father, thank you that you want a personal relationship with everyone in the world. And I pray that every woman and every man, every boy, every girl have an opportunity today and tonight to hear of the goodness of the real, the true God. And they might receive you, that they might say, Jesus is Lord. Thank you for all that salvation has brought to us. And continue to teach us to take what you've given, to use what you have available, and raise up to be the people you called us to be. Father, bless this church. Thank you for increasing it, bringing in more people that want to hear, that want to know, that want to change, that want real life. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we are a light in a dark world. We're more than a candle. We're a beacon in this dark world because of the light of Jesus that shines through us. And we praise you that you've honored us to be here and honored us to be part of this. Work your work. Do your work. We want to be used. We want to be part of it. And we will be. We are. We give you all the praise and all the glory forever and ever and ever. We pray in the name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You're dismissed. Amen.